So thanks for tuning in for episode 8 of my podcast. This is Sarah Grillo, by the way. And today we have Michael Goldberg here with us. Michael is the CEO of Knockout Networking, helping sales producers make more knockout connections. And aside from being a great guy, he's also a 2-time TEDx speaker and an avid boxer. Don't mess with Michael, by the way. So, Michael, what are you working on nowadays other than your right hook?
Hello, Sarah. Well, good speaking with you. And I may not be a great boxer, but I am a great guy, as you pointed out. So thanks for that.
I wouldn't know. I've never fought you. I've never been in the ring with you. I don't know. I bet you're better boxer than me.
As one of my clients jokes with me, he says I fight like an accountant, which I don't know is a good thing or a bad thing, but I laugh every time he accuses me of that. But like everybody, you know, the summer presents, I think, a different cadence when it comes to work, especially when you're running your own shop and the whole thing, because people are on vacations and this and that. I can never predict my business. Sometimes summers are slamming and I'm doing a lot of business travel, and other times there's a lull. And I think right now it's kind of in between. I've got some business travel coming up tomorrow where I'll be speaking and all that stuff. But during the times that I'm not traveling and doing the speaking thing, some of the things I'm working on that I'm really proud of, and I've been working on it a long time, probably longer than I should have, much like my right hook, is that I'm rolling out a subscription model, where I've got all this content on networking and referral marketing. And what I've done is I have made all of these videos professionally done, like in a boxing ring and a video crew and all that, at Gleason's Gym, by the way, which is famous in the boxing world. A lot of boxers got started there.
Right.
But I recorded these 8 to 10 minute videos on all of my ideas as it relates to networking. And I've got this now on a platform, and it's called Fight Club, you know, how to generate more and better connections. And then there's all these videos. And then there's PDFs that go along with these videos. So if you're a financial advisor and you sign on and you pay a monthly subscription fee, you have access to these videos and you have access to me. Because at the end of every month, we have this Fight Club community. Like, we don't talk about Fight Club, but we kind of do. And in this Fight Club community, we talk about the videos that came out that were viewed. And I answer questions and weigh in some other comments and ideas that are related to the content that we're collaborating about. And it's really been really cool. It's in like pilot mode, and it's fun just even in that mode. So now when I roll this thing out in August, it's going to really go full kilter. So it's that. And then it's also licensing, where corporate offices in the financial world might say, well, I want to avail all of my financial advisors to all this great content. How do I do that? And then we enter into an agreement where we roll it out to, let's say, 3,000 financial advisors. So you asked the question, but I figured I'd load it up. That's kind of what I'm up to right now, is putting the finishing touches and all that stuff.
No kidding. Wow. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's you know, that's really where the learning and development world is going and has been going, is it's not just about videos as we see on social media with Facebook and even on LinkedIn and everywhere else, but in the world of learning and development and education in the business world, is that videos are commonplace, and it's now short and sweet videos. So it's not like a financial advisor is going to sit down and watch a video for an hour and a half. Not happening. You know, my videos used to be much lengthier, and I've realized that that's not really where the learning trend or where the whole millennial trend is going, is people want more and more with less, more content. Just give it to me, but in way less time.
Absolutely. So yeah. I mean, you think about, it's like first we had Facebook and Twitter, and even Twitter, you know, like how much can you convey in however many characters, like 140 characters? I don't even know. I should know that, but I don't even know. And then even now it's Instagram, where it's like, forget about the words. We just want the pictures. It's like, you know, what's happening to our attention span as human beings is that it's just shortening to that of like a mosquito.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah, no, exactly right. Yeah. Mosquito marketing. That's going to be my next brand.
Oh, yeah. See? But you got to give me a credit on that. Okay.
Yeah, my little footnote.
Otherwise, I'm going to give you the uppercut, okay? See? The work both ways, Michael. You're not the only Fight Clubber here.
All right. That ain't over yet.
Right. So here's what I want to just focus on here is the first question. So I love that you talked about your networking video series Fight Club being fun at the same time as being educational, because I think that with networking, it can sometimes get into this thing of maybe like a little bit too business focused. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of what we get away from is, I think we're so focused on, oh, I have bills to pay. How do I get a return on investment of all my time I'm spending with networking? And I think in reality, what I've seen from your materials is that your approach should be a little bit different. And especially in the summertime, which is really what the objective of this podcast is, it's to talk about what financial advisors can do in the summertime when you have that lull in your business to network effectively. So tell me about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I take a very fun approach to networking in that if people think that you're fun and even funny, that they'll want to keep talking to you. And in which case, if you're fun and funny, you tend to bring the fun and funny out of other people. And to me, if I'm at an event, I don't want it to be like, you know, Snoozeville, where you're talking to people and it's right down to business and it's all that, you know,
elevator
not that I think that that's,
pitch. No, but that's
yeah.
how they train you. Like in sales training,
of
they
course.
Tell you. Like,
I know.
Do your elevator pitch.
That's right. That's right. And all that stuff is good. And I teach all that stuff, but it's being able to do it. You know, so the whole boxing thing, I think I have to talk about that. The reason why the boxing, and I'll kind of back into this, is the reason why the whole boxing concept is important, not just to me, but also to my market, which is, you know, financial advisors and brokers. It's really because, you know, boxing, if you're going to be successful in the ring, you're going to be making more and better connections than your opponent, you know, presumably, right? It's the same thing as a financial advisor or any sales producer, is that it's always about the connection. So when you're at an event, if there's no connection, the best elevator pitch in the world is not going to do anything. It's going to be snoozeville. But if you can make a connection because, you know, this is a good guy, he's funny, or he's really smart, and I want to learn more about it. It's just so much like I could actually grab a beer with this person and get to know, you know, if it's got that feel, or you're laughing and you're not even talking about work, that's a really good start. That gets into know, like, and trust and everything else. But, you know, nothing great happens without first making a connection. So all of my
That's a tweetable moment.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah,
everybody listening
to
this podcast, tweet that, right?
Yeah, boil that down to 140 characters and that is tweetable, yes.
Right.
But it's true. It's always about the connection. And that's what I think that gets lost in training programs, especially in financial services, because it's about the value of my work. Here's my elevator pitch. And oh, by the way, do you have life insurance?
Yeah, let me sell you an annuity.
Right, yeah.
But here's the other thing. What happens to somebody physically when they laugh? What are the positive effects of making somebody laugh from a physiological standpoint?
Well, physiological standpoint, you know, you have all the endorphins, you know, that are going bananas and all of a sudden there's a lightness of being, there is an easiness, the gloves, as it were, come down because now people don't have their guard up and it's, oh, I can kind of be myself and be fun.
And they relax. Like their body language relaxes.
Unbelievable. Yeah, because now it doesn't feel like you're in a networking event. It just feels like you're speaking to somebody and hopefully having some fun and getting into an important collaboration that may not take place then, but you're setting the stage for it to take place perhaps at another time. In fact, to that point, I run a networking group in New York City, and we have a vetting process. In fact, our big event is in a couple of weeks.
No way.
Yeah.
You haze people?
Well, we'll have to talk about that. But one of the parts of our vetting process is, are they fun or funny? So when people refer, and people don't, it's like if somebody's going to suggest a guest, the guest does not know they're being suggested. So the suggested guest will
get
then
out of here.
To me, and then I'll say, well, and I've got a criteria, and is Sarah this and is Sarah that? And the last part of it, is she fun or funny? And give an example of that.
But that should be the first part. That should be like question number one.
Well, it's actually question number four, because if they're fun or funny, that's great. But the other stuff might not be relevant, you know? Okay. So we want to make sure, because usually the showstopper is it the right profession at the right time, given what we've got going on here, you know? So
I love that.
You know what I mean? So we have a criteria. So I guess my point is that the whole fun, funny thing is that sort of with our vetting at the end of it for our big event, which New York City, the whole thing, is we end up having 80 to 100 people that fit a criteria. And by the way, talk about a fun room. So that drops the guard down with networking. You don't even feel like you're at a networking event. You just feel like you're at this glorified cocktail party. And it's almost like you feel like you know almost everybody there. And people are and here's the thing. At the end of the meeting, people don't leave. Like usually people looking to scurry out of there and, you know, catch a train or a bus or whatever they got to do. They don't leave. So it's turned into now there's an after hours party.
Okay. So let's just make this actionable for financial advisors.
Sure,
what if you're You never really thought about being that funny. Are you, maybe what if it doesn't come that naturally to you? How can you do that?
Yeah, well, it's not about being Robin Williams. So it's not about that. It's about having fun in the moment. So it's not deep, you know, digging deep into your deepest, wildest, ad lib.
Like knock knock jokes, right?
Yeah. So it's not that. It's having fun with the situation. You know, so you and I think can have a quick, you know, comment and be funny and whimsical and all that stuff. You don't need to be able to do that. You know, it's certainly fun to do that, but you don't need to be able to do that. It's being able to have fun in the moment.
So give me an example.
So to give you some actionable tactical, when I'm speaking to people at an event that I don't know, you know, I'm meeting them for the first time, because at my events, I pretty much know most of the people there. But if I'm at an event, at a cocktail party, at a holiday function, at a something, I don't lead with business conversation. I will walk up to somebody, introduce myself, and say, "Very nice to meet you." And I'll say, "Can I share something in my world that's going on right now that is awesome?" Can I? And of course, who's going to say no? And I won't go on and on and on, but I'll spend 30 seconds to a minute sharing something that might have just happened that week that I thought was phenomenal, whether it's work-related or not. It could be just putting my kid on the bus for her first day of high school. I did that. And then I only take like a minute. Like, this is not like I'm talking somebody's face off. And after that, I'll say, you know, so people usually get a smile or a reaction. Oh, I just went through that too. And I'll say, "Well, thank you for letting me share. What is something that is just phenomenal going on in your world?"
Upbeat.
Right. Yeah. So now they share something that just, and now we're in the throes of what I call a conversation.
Now you're talking to someone like a real person.
You're talking to somebody like a real person. And by the way, you're having fun. Like, work hasn't even gotten involved yet. You're just into this. And now their guard goes down because they're thinking, "Oh, this is like a cool conversation."
Right.
Like, they don't have to be in networking elevator pitch mode.
Right, make it more memorable too.
They're in person mode. They're in conversation mode. They're in social mode.
And how do you, Michael, then how do you then take it from social mode into, "Hey, I own an RIA firm."
Right.
We deal with affluent investors.
Yeah.
But how do you transition that?
Well, now let me just backdrop. My definition of networking is not about pitching your wares. My definition of networking is a proactive or reactive approach to learning and helping other people. That to me is networking. And if you can focus on learning from and potentially helping great people, and maybe not right there in the moment, but if that's where your eye is, they will react the same way. Like, if you help great people learn and help them get what they're after, they'll help you right back. And that's networking. So the way to transition into business type conversation as appropriate is, I might say something like, "I can talk about boxing all day. I can talk about putting my kid on the bus for high school all day, but I'm sure you didn't come here to talk about that. So what type of work do you do and what's your focus?" So now I drive that conversation, and then they will come back typically about a third of the time with, "How about yourself?" And that's when I'll tell them, "Well, I might run an RIA or I'm a financial advisor and this is really what my focus is." So now we end up with a back and forth as to why we're both there, what we're both focused on, and potentially over time how we might be able to help one another. That is like a networking 101 perfect conversation. And then it's ending with fun stuff in terms of what a next step might be, if in fact there should be a next step. If there is no next step necessary because there's just not a good synergistic collaboration there, "Sarah, it was great speaking with you. Good luck today. If there's something that I can do to help you, you know, certainly, you know, tap me for that."
Okay, so how do you get to that, I guess, call to action moment where, you know, you talk a little bit, like, you don't want to hang out all day.
Right. So I don't really speak to any one person longer than 6, 7, 8 minutes without ever looking at my watch, because that's just rude. You know, but I have a feel. My life is a series of 3-minute rounds. So I have a feel of, you know, after about 3 rounds or so, unless it is such a phenomenal conversation, right? That's tweetable. So unless I'm in the groove with a conversation and it feels right. So you and I are speaking and I kind of get it in my mind, ding, ding, ding. It's about 9 minutes or so. I'll say something as appropriate. And when the time is right, and say, "Sarah, you know, it feels like we're having a great conversation. You know, I don't want to hold you up if there's other people you want to connect with or other things you want to do."
Yeah. That's like saying, what they might be uncomfortable to acknowledge.
Exactly. So I'll bring that up. So if we're in a groove, and that happens about a third of the time, in my estimation, if we're in a groove, you're going to say, no, we're good, but I appreciate you asking. And then we just continue. And if we're not in a groove, then you might take me up on that, or I might just say, look, I don't want to take up all of your time, but I know that we have some things to talk about. Should we exchange cards? And I promise to reconnect with you over the next day and see how I might coordinate, or we continue talking. And then I might get to that follow-up conversation. But there's always a transition in there, whether it's a transition to continue talking for a few more moments, or a transition into what's next, or a transition into we're done. All good.
Do you feel that the summertime is a better time for networking?
I feel that a summertime is a more laxed time for networking because there's more social things to talk about. Because kids are out of school, they're at camp, there's vacations, there's summer outings, there's events that are going on. So I think there's more social, summery, fun things to talk about. So in that way, yes. Like for my own networking event that I mentioned before, like we are sponsoring like a ball game, where we bought a whole box of tickets and people can buy it at a discount and this whole thing. And it's a quote unquote networking thing, but I'm sure we're not going to be talking about a lot of business stuff. Some we're going to take in the game. It's going to be social. There'll be a few adult beverages. It'll all be good. But the summer sets the stage for something like that.
Yeah. I think it's a misconception that summer has to be a slow time for business because I think it's all what you make of it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like I'm working with firms right now over the summer I didn't think that I would be working with, or engagements that I'm on that I didn't think would happen now, and they just are because they're using it as like a summer boot camp or a way to jumpstart, a way to, to transition into, the fall and, that sort of thing.
All right. So just one more thing before we go. What do you recommend as follow-up on social media? Probably LinkedIn, because I'm, a LinkedIn person. So,
yeah. Well, keep it in mind, LinkedIn is a different level of networking. And the reason I say that is because on LinkedIn, I think people's gloves are already up because there's so many, there's so many outreaches and notes and interactions there that are thinly veiled sales pitches. So I think people are particularly guarded until that they see that, Sarah is connected to all these other people that I do know really well. And then the guard comes down. So networking again is learning, helping. It should be a collaboration. It should be a back and forth. And it's the same thing on LinkedIn. So if you're doing a back and forth with people on LinkedIn, the deal is to get them on a Zoom call or a phone call and that sort of thing. So if it's really a good collaboration and there's reasons to speak with one another, the next step might be, are you open to taking this offline so we can figure out some ways that we might strategically help one another?
Yeah. And it also goes the other way. So let's say, for example, that you meet somebody at a networking event. I'm a big proponent of then immediately connecting with them over LinkedIn, like within 24 to 48 hours, because then they're likely to remember you. And also you should mention something from the conversation that you had that they also are more likely to remember if you connect
question.
Immediately.
Yeah. In fact, talking about follow-up, I believe that your follow-up starts, and this is not LinkedIn stuff, but when you're face-to-face with somebody. So if you and I are speaking at an event, we hit it off. Again, we're like in this one-thirder space. I call it the one-thirder dynamic. So if Michael and Sarah are in the one-thirder dynamic, I might say something like, does it make sense for us to exchange cards? And I promise to reconnect with you over the next day, and we can coordinate how we can continue to collaborate and help one another. So I've now started the follow-up phase, even though we're not in follow-up yet.
Nice. I set the whole thing up.
It's the same thing on LinkedIn. It's, that sort of thing is, so now if that's happened and I met you and you were going to now follow up with me, we'll say on LinkedIn, you don't even, the skids are already greased. So now you can say, as I mentioned, I'm quick on the button, let's look at a time that we can reconnect, get our calendars out and that sort of thing. But the skids are already greased. And to your point, it's done within 24 to 48 hours where it's still fresh. because connections do go out of shelf life.
Right.
They really do.
Yes.
So that's why I'm big into, is there a stack of business cards on your desk and a snarl of rubber bands? Why are they there? And how long are they there? And how long do you plan on keeping them there? Are they out of shelf life? You know, I've done blogs and talks and answered questions about what do you do with the connections that are no longer connections, but you're afraid to throw those business cards away because they're out of shelf life. Like, how do you bring them back and create some freshness and, you know, into those connections? And of course, there's ways of doing that.
Totally. And what I like about sending a message to somebody on LinkedIn is within 24 to 48 hours and asking them to connect is that within that connection request, there is a history. So now it's documented that you reached out and connected and you've written there what the conversation was about. Hey, so great to have met last night at the BNI event.
Yep.
You know, great to hope your kids do well in the YMCA summer camp. Mm-hmm. Let's connect in a few weeks. But now you have that forever, because if you're like me, no offense to anybody that I'm connected with, but I mean, I can't keep on top of mind like every single person I talk to.
Yeah.
I talk to a ton of people every day.
Sure.
So that enables me to then like a year later, I mean, there are people that I'm connected with on LinkedIn. I have no idea where I met you. If I go into my LinkedIn and I look at your profile and I look at our history together, see, and LinkedIn was a genius to do it this way, is that now I can see, oh my gosh, I met him at a BNI event. His kids were going to summer camp. Oh, now I remember. That was the guy with the red hair.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Like you have it documented, it creates a trail. So
or who is that guy connected to? And maybe that's how I got connected is, oh, Ray connected us and you're able to, you know what? And because I see that now, let me reconnect with Ray. So it creates a feeding frenzy of that.
Yeah.
But you know, and you bring up a good point. I don't think this was your point, but is that people communicate differently. There's a different level of connection when you're on LinkedIn versus if you're emailing back and forth. Because not everybody checks their LinkedIn every day or gets prompted the same way or treats it as a priority. I know that I'm going to defer to regular emails that are in my inbox before I'm going to defer to LinkedIn stuff going on. Like I need to be in that LinkedIn mode to handle all that stuff. You know, so you're at a different level of intimacy, networking intimacy when you're exchanging emails because you truly have that person's email address. So that's a great next step, Sarah, is if you're going back and forth with somebody on LinkedIn is, you know, here is my, you know, my old school email address. Here's my email address. Why don't we communicate here? Because I'm more likely to be able to react, you know, more quickly, have more respect for the time, that sort of thing. Because now you're bringing it to a different level of consciousness.
Right. All right, so I'm about to wrap up here.
No, don't go anywhere. Yeah, I do better in the later round, Sarah.
What I do is I end every podcast with three action items because, as I always say, I'm not some motivational speaker like Tony Robbins. I'm here to give you actionable insights. So, Michael, maybe you can help me here. I would say one thing that financial advisors and brokers and people listening to this podcast should do the next time you're in a networking situation is, one, find some way, if possible, the holy grail is to make people laugh right away when you meet them.
Agreed.
Make some kind of joke. Like you can even have some kind of default joke, like, get your hands off my nachos. Something.
But I would be careful with funny, though. I think fun is just as good because there are going to be advisors and brokers that are going to say, you know, I don't know if I have funny to tap into, or I've got so many other things going on. I'm a little anxious at this event. So if you happen to be funny and you can dig into that or something does take place where you can make a funny out of it, that's great. But I think fun is just as important and it's easier. Is try to do what you can to at least go into this. You know, your jab, that first punch, should be something that's fun. You know, putting your kid on the bus or something that's just great that just happened. Or
getting a root canal.
Yeah, exactly. Getting a root canal.
That's great.
That's awesome. You know what I just did? That was fun. I was just, yeah. So whatever that is, and that will be funny, right? But so not leading with, I'm a financial advisor, I head up an RIA.
I'm a fiduciary, I've been in the business 20 years. Okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
So, number one, Say something fun or funny when you first meet the person.
Right, make it fun.
Number two, yep. Number two, I like what we were talking about of within 6 to 7 minutes, check their pulse. If you're not really, really connecting, then get permission. And in other words, get permission to end the conversation graciously.
Mm-hmm.
And then third, I would say is initiate follow-up within 28 to 48 hours. I like LinkedIn. Some people aren't into social media. If so, then you stink and you should be. So just kidding. if not, then just, you know, do it over email, however you feel comfortable. Yep. But I strongly feel that connection within 24 to 48 hours offline and say something memorable that reflects your, like the fun part of the conversation you had.
Cool. Can I add two more?
No.
No, I want to add two more. I got
okay,
two more.
Okay, well, fine, because you're a boxer.
Two more. These are really, these are like two of my faves.
Okay.
All right. So two more. Really important. Really important is you have to have an understanding of what networking truly is. Most people don't, because otherwise the other stuff is not going to work. Networking is learning and potentially helping. Without that attitude and that level of understanding, the behavior is not going to follow suit. So being fun and not leading with, hi, I run an RIA and that sort of thing, right, is not going to work if you don't have a fundamental understanding of it's about the connection. So look to learn and potentially help that person, because a third of the time, they're going to look to learn from you and help you right back. And it could be in terms of an introduction, a referral, and that whole thing. There's got to be that sparring. There's got to be that exchange. Otherwise, it won't be a good networking experience, probably. And the last idea is to have a target market. So important for a financial advisor or broker. It can't be, I'm looking for any client. I'm looking for anybody that's going to, you know, have me, you know, handle their assets under management. It can't be about that. It's got to be, I'm looking to connect with small businesses in the manufacturing industry like.
But also, I don't like it when people say, oh, my target market is millennials.
Right, but that's not like, a target market.
Right,
not
it's target, like...
Yeah. Yeah, so
it's like saying my target market is people with brown hair.
Exactly,
it's
right.
So broad.
With canal, right, all that, yeah. So, but it's like reducing fractions, 4/8 to 2/4 to 1/2, lowest common denominator.
Totally.
So what type of millennials is 4/8, right? What industry, right, profession, market segment, niche, dynamic demographic, geography. So as soon as you can whittle down what type of millennials, and now you have it broken down to industry, profession, the whole thing, you now have what's called a target market. And when you're networking, if you... You can talk about your marketplace, you are much more marketable. Because people are going to say, you know who I need to connect you with. More likely to do that if you have a connect me with anybody, everybody, somebody approach.
Yeah, it's like you're doing the work for them and making it clear who you can help.
Right. And you're helping to load up a connection. That's the key. It's always default back to that is, are you making a connection and how? Without a connection, none of this other stuff even is relevant.
Right, right. That's why Time Warner is so important.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Yep, bring your Time Warner bill with you. Yeah, that's right.
I'll bring all my bills with me. I got a lot of them.
In fact, keep them here.
Right, yeah. In fact, burn them while you're at it. You want to have a, that'd be a great idea for a networking function. Burn your bills. That's it. That'd be funny.
Bring, I like that.
And we'll burn a financial networking group. The bill in fact, burning.
In fact, that could be your opening when you're meeting somebody. By the way, here's all my bills.
All right. Okay, Michael. Hey, look, this was really fun. Thanks for being a guest on my podcast, everybody.
Of course.
Make sure to read the show notes, everybody, for a summary of the conversation. And thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Sarah Grillo podcast. Bye now, everybody.